You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, my announcer, Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verse 10, where we left off last time. Mark, chapter 14, verse 10. Excuse me. Just before we begin, I want to invite all of our church family on radio and internet to gather together the ingredients for the Holy Communion. Later on in our show today, we're going to actually have the communion together. So if you don't have any grape juice, or you actually can use wine unless you're an alcoholic, grape juice is fine. If you don't have any, even water will do, because Jesus can turn the water into wine. And if you don't have the cracker there, you might have some bread. Get something ready so we can all share that a little bit later on in the program. And now the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verse 10. We left off last week. It was one day before Passover. Jesus had been coming to Jerusalem for the last 2 years to celebrate the feast of the Passover. That's when they killed the Passover lamb. It was a prophecy that the Messiah would come and would be the Passover and would die for our sins. Little did the disciples realize, or anyone else, that this year, this would be the Last Supper, the last evening meal, because Jesus himself would be the Passover. In the Hebrew calendar, the Passover is always on the 15th of the first month of the Hebrew calendar. That is the equivalent of our April 15th. Passover is when we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The proper word is Passover. It's a Christian word. Easter is a bad translation, a total mistake Acts chapter 12, verse 4. So Jesus is that Passover. Last week, it was the 14th, and a woman with a beautiful heart had been saving for her marriage a beautiful box, alabaster box of spikenards. But she went to Jesus, opened the box, and poured out all the oils and spices, very expensive, on Jesus, celebrating and in preparation for his death, burial, and even resurrection. Well, there was one there, and the other Gospels make it clearer. Judas said, "What a waste. You could have sold all that for a lot of money. We could have given it to the poor." Another Gospel says he didn't care about the poor. He was the thief. Judas carried the bag. So with that in mind, we begin. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priest to betray him unto them. Now, before all of you pull out your hate knives and hate Judas, I want you to understand that this was prearranged. It was written in Psalm 41, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, with whom I ate bread, hath turned his heel against me." It was prophesied that Judas would betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. 30 is the price of a slave. We're going to find in this study today that all of the disciples betrayed Jesus. And have you not betrayed him? You did not speak up that time when you should have. You betrayed him. So let's don't be too hard on him. Let me explain about Jesus. When you study later on in this same chapter, we're going to find that when they do arrest Jesus, he says, "Take him away safely." In other words, don't hurt him. Judas had seen Jesus raise Jairus' daughter from the dead, raise Lazarus from the dead, raise the son of the widow of Nain. He had seen Jesus walk on water, feed the multitudes. He had seen one time when the phony church leaders had Jesus surrounded and were going to push him off of the cliff to kill him. And he saw Jesus become invisible and walk through the crowd. It never occurred to Judas that Jesus would let them kill him. He thought Jesus was going to come and set up the earthly kingdom. So Judas is trying to nudge Jesus to hurry up and do this and say, wait a minute, I'm not going to let you kill me. I'm going to set up my kingdom right now. See, Judas wanted to be the secretary of the treasury. He wanted to be in charge of the money. He did not believe that Jesus would die. He did not know that. But neither did any of the others.
11, and when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money.
And that would be 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. Please remember that when Judas realized that Jesus was actually going to let him kill him, he was amazed and stunned. And he said, I betrayed an innocent man. And Judas repented. He confessed his sin. I betrayed an innocent man. And he repented. What do you have to do to get saved? Confess your sins and repent. Just wanted to put that out there.
And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. 12, in the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover.
Okay, it's now our April 15th on the Hebrew calendar, would be the first month of the Hebrew calendar, the 15th. They actually did take a Passover lamb and kill it. The very way they prepared the meal was a story of the Passover lamb dying. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ our Passover sacrificed for us. Even the bread they ate had the stripes on it. You could see the darkened kind of raspberry colored stripes on the bread. So they were preparing that.
His disciples said unto him, where wilt thou go that we prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? 13, and he sendeth forth two of his disciples and said unto them.
Jesus always sent two by two. Two is better than one. If one fall, the other can pick you up.
Go ye into the city, and there you shall see a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him.
Now, first of all, that's very amazing. In Bible times, men did not carry pitchers of water. Women did. Men carried leather bottles. See, if every man in Jerusalem was walking around with a pitcher of water, it would have made it so hard for the disciples to find the right one to follow. And of course, they're going to follow this man and find out where they're supposed to have the Passover. So you see, Jesus made it easy. What happened here? It was prepared by God, predestined by God. The man with a pitcher of water, it had been prepared by God. God intervenes in his elect life, and everybody else has free choice. But his elect, he prepares for you. From the before you came into your mother's womb, it was written down in a book, your destiny and everything. This was this man's destiny. And see, you have a place here in your destiny, in the place of the soon coming Antichrist and then the soon coming Christ after that. It was prepared. It was predestined.
14, and wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house.
Say to the owner of the house, the man carrying the pitcher of water, most unusual, is in his destiny now. He's doing the God's business he was sent here to do. Now he's going to say to the owner of the house.
The master saith, where is the guest chamber?
Well, this man's prepared too. God had it all arranged. It's like God's orchestrating a play, and he just puts everybody in their place. You know God does that.
Yes.
Where I may eat the Passover with my disciples.
Now, anybody else, if the goodman of the house, the owner, had not been predestined to have that place prepared, he might have said, who does Jesus think he is that I'm going to give him a room and actually prepare a place for him? But when he heard I, he knew it was the great I Am. He knew his destiny. He knew the scriptures. He was in the right place at God's appointed time. Don't fight so much where God puts you. It could be that was prepared for you. Don't fight so much the people God's put before you. It could be God prepared that for you.
Amen.
Yes. 15, and he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared.
Got cushions all over, got tables to eat, little food warmers for the lamb.
There, make ready for us. 16, as disciples came forth and went into the city, and found as he had said unto them.
As Jesus has said, so it was. Or as Jesus says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Every word of God is true. If it doesn't work for you, you haven't done the ifs. Or it might not be the appointed time yet. There's a time for that word to come true. Wait for the time. It's prepared for you.
And they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. 18. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me.
Thud. Wow. What a thing to say to them. They're enjoying themselves. The disciples at last have it made. God has sent them out two by two. They're healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils. Jesus is growing and being popular. They also think he's going to set up his kingdom on heaven. And they love Jesus with all their heart. All of them do. Even Judas. But what does he say? That we're going to betray you? Is it possible that even an elect could betray? Mark 13, don't you remember he said, if it were possible, even the elect would betray if God had not shortened the time. Is it in you to cave in when all the world's going to be worshiping the Antichrist and half the body of Christ in every Christian television radio program except Shepherd's Chapel and Sherry Medlock and a few others around here? What are you going to do? Is it possible that you might betray him? This was also prepared. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, these things happen to them in the Bible for an example for those of us who at the end, lest we don't watch, lest we grow cold, lest we cave in.
19, and they began to be sorrowful, and began to say unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I?
Don't you know they breathed a sigh of relief when he said, no, not you. They loved Jesus. They couldn't believe they would betray him. Look at half the body of Christ is going to betray Jesus and worship the Antichrist. Right now, they go to church every Sunday and Wednesday and all day Thursday. And they love the Lord and they shout and they sing. And they're going to worship the devil because they do not know the order of the trumps. They've not gone into the depth of God's word, the mystery. And they can't believe. If you told them now they were going to betray Jesus, they would laugh you out of town.
20. And he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish.
And we know other gospels say that Judas picked up a morsel of bread the same time Jesus, and they dipped it in the dip. And then at the same time, again, Psalm 41, yea, my familiar friend, in whom I trusted, with whom I ate bread, hath lifted up his heel against me.
21, the Son of Man doth indeed goeth, as it is written of him.
So Jesus says, it's right that I, Jesus, should be crucified. It's written of me in the Bible. Psalm 22 explains the whole crucifixion, Jesus teaching from the cross. That's right, Jesus says, I am supposed to die. So somebody's supposed to betray him. It was prepared.
But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born.
You notice about Jesus, all the while he knew Judas would betray him, and all the while he knows your heart. But you know Jesus did not throw the baby out with the bathwater. What you're supposed to do if you're called a leader of a group You're supposed to clean up the baby and then throw out the bathwater.
Yeah.
I want to say a word to all of you who are called, chosen, and elected. As you lead groups, sometimes a few people, sometimes a lot, in almost every group, and I've been leading groups all of my life, God thrust that on me, even from a child, I would lead people in church and school. And there's almost always a potential betrayer in the group. It's very sad to say that. There's a weaker link that if given the possibility, a little opening, they will start saying something against the leader. Maybe it'll just be an innocent email or a text to see if anybody else is gonna bite. And if somebody else joins in, suddenly you've got a divided group. But what you do, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You tend to that baby. You pray, you bring it to its attention, and you do everything to get that baby back where it needs to be. But do throw out the bathwater. Don't allow the betrayal in your group, because it'll mess it up. But you must know that. All the groups I've ever led, hundreds of them, there's almost a weak link in every one that could easily be tempted to betray the leader. It's just in people to want to say a little snarky thing to get it going.
22, and as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body.
Jesus took the stripes and we take the healing.
23, and he took the cup and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and they all drank of it. 24, and he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which I shed for many. 25, verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.
Jesus said, this is my last supper. I'm going to die. I shall arise again, and I'm coming again the second time. The seventh trump, the last trump out. And then I'm going to have communion with my faithful elect. Now, we do know that the Bible tells us that Antichrist is going to have that Holy Communion with the deceived church. And then the Antichrist will say, you don't need to do this anymore. I, Jesus, am here with you. So you'll need to know that.
26. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives,
where Jesus would ascend up to heaven after he arose, and where he will descend in the clouds with his entourage at the seventh trump, the last trump out.
27, and Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night.
All of you are going to be ashamed of me. If you ever notice a leader, look at the politics, or look at a church leader. When the leader falls, all the rats like to leave the ship.
For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered.
Jesus quoted Zechariah chapter 18, smite the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. And we're going to see that every one of these loving disciples, and they did, they loved Jesus, all betrayed him. But I have to say later on, they came up to the top. Every one of those disciples except John was executed and murdered a cruel death for preaching the gospel of Jesus. But John didn't get away too easily. He was boiled in oil and thrown out in his burnt body on a rock place called Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation.
28, but after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee.
Jesus always tells the rest of the story. But listen, don't be discouraged. I'm going to rise from the dead, and then we're going to meet there in a certain place.
29, but Peter saith unto him, although also be offended, yet not I. 30, and Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice.
This broke Peter's heart because he loved Jesus with all his heart. But this wash prepared like the pitcher of water, like the goodman of a house, like Judas, the 30 pieces of silver. Why? For an example for the elect at the end. If the rock, Petra, Peter, rock, could betray him, something was arranged here for our admonition that we watch and pray.
31, but he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise said they all. 32, and they came to a place called Gethsemane.
Gethsemane means just pouring with oil. Oil represents the Holy Spirit, very anointed. You can always know when you're in an anointed place. I don't care how beautiful a place is. If it's not anointed, it's not pretty to me. The anointing is what makes things beautiful. This is a beautiful place. Amen. We're beat up. Amen. We've been through hell here fighting the devil. But this is the prettiest place. You know why? Because the anointing is all over every inch of this place.
Amen. And he said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. 33, and he taketh with him Peter and James and John.
He takes the inner circle. He wants them to watch how he prays because he wants them to write it in a book, and they do.
And to be sore amazed and to be very heavy.
It says he sweated drops of blood.
34, and he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death.
Now, Jesus was not afraid to die. He came to defeat death, whose name is the devil, Hebrews 2:14. But what was sorrowful about it is that God is a tree of life. He's never died. He always was. He is. He always will be. And he's the potter. And his poor little clay pots rebelled against him in the world that then was when Satan said, I will be God, and brought death into the equation. So now the potter, the tree of life, what a sorry thing to have to come down here on this planet and die for the miserable pieces of clay. How sorry that is.
Tarry ye here and watch.
You stay here. Don't you get in any hot air balloon and try to fly up away.
And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all these things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me.
Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou. Now, many people think that he's saying, please don't let me have to die. No, the cup is written about in Isaiah chapter 59. It's called the cup of trembling, the cup of wrath. It's a wide-mouthed bowl that when Jesus comes a second time, he'll have in his hand, and he's going to pour it out on all the people worshiping the Antichrist, which will mean the whole world, half the body of Christ, only the elect. It will not touch the elect. Not one hair of your head shall be harmed. But the elements, the false teachings, will melt with fervent heat. So why is Jesus saying, he doesn't mind dying, why did you say, could I bypass the cup? Because Jesus loves, he's compassionate. He's willing to die, he's willing to shed his blood, he's willing to arise again, he's willing to give us all time to build his church, then he's coming again, but he doesn't want to pour out this cup of trembling on his people because he loves them. Could we bypass that one? Nevertheless, no, he can't. Here's why. God is fair. God is merciful. God is forgiving. God is good. And God forgives. But God also has to annihilate evil. God has to stop it at some point and put evil away and wipe it out, or we would never have heaven on earth. You understand? Yes. That is fair, and then that is right. We'll begin right there next time, but now let's all have communion. Let me pray over your ingredients. Precious Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for the Holy Communion, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We ask that the Holy Spirit will sanctify this bread and sanctify this juice. We ask you to translate the bread into the body of Jesus, and please translate the juice into the blood of Jesus. We do this in remembrance of you, for we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, just before we begin, you've read about Paul saying that some people take the communion unworthily, and for that reason, some sleep, which means they die, and some are sick. You say, well, what in the world does that mean? Okay, it means that Christians sin. We've already prayed the prayer of salvation. Our eternal soul is saved, but Christians mess up. It might be that you're living in sin right now, and after this service, you might be going to go home and commit the same sin again, or maybe you cussed the cat before you came here. So let's clear the record so that you will not take it unworthily. Now, I'm not going to embarrass you. Remember, God can read your mind. He's a heart knower, a mind knower. So I'm going to pray, and if the Holy Spirit brings anything to your remembrance for which you need to repent, do it silently, think it to him, and he'll forgive you and clean your slate. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask for all of the people listening now, anywhere there is sin, secret sin, some kind of habitual sin, I ask that you will bring this to their attention, and I ask you to draw them to confess this sin to now in their hearts and minds to you and repent of the sin. And we ask this sin be forgiven and cleansed with the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it and gave thanks. And he gave it to them saying, this is my body which is given for you. So we take the bread, we take Jesus' body. He took the stripes, we take the healing. Then he took the cup and he gave it to them. And he said, drink ye all of it. This is the blood of my new covenant, which is given for many. And so we take the blood of Jesus. Jesus says, if you do not eat my body or drink my blood, you can have no part in me. Oh, Lord, we do remember. We do this in remembrance. We remember the crown of thorns that pierced your brow. We remember them pulling your beard out and spitting on you. We remember the 39 stripes. We remember the piercings of the hands and the feet. We remember the blood. And remember that you said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We do this in remembrance of you. We thank you, Christ, our Passover Lamb, and we love you always in the mighty name of Jesus. We'll pick it up right there next time. We're going to skip Mystery Moment this week for time's sake, but we're not skipping Scott's stuff. Let me introduce to you the man of God, my twin friend, the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida. Let's welcome Scott Merson.
Hey, Miss Sherry, how you doing?
Just doing great.
That was really good. I mean, that was really good. I mean, what better thing than to share the blood and the body of Christ?
That's the best thing that we have to give to anyone, absolutely.
Amen.
He is the living word.
He sure is.
So David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
The church of today that dwells in idolatries of outward appearance, of success and recognition by men, and men's judgment of success, is controlled by the worldly spirit of immediate gratification and glory. Whom is it you serve? You read my words, but do not chase my heart. The Lord is calling his people out of such places. Wake up, church, for destruction is at hand. Revelations 18:4-8.
That is a warning worth heeding. Thank you very much, Scott Merson.
You're welcome.
Now, I'm going to pray for all of you who are sick, but first of all, I want to pray for those of you who might be lost. Pray this prayer with me and mean it, and the Lord will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
With the blood of Jesus.
With the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
And grow me in your word.
And grow me in your word.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is my Savior.
Jesus is my Savior.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. 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 Now, in a few moments, our announcer, Scott, is going to give you my telephone number, so you might like to call and leave a message and tell me you were saved. Now, get your sick loved ones. Let's pray. Jesus still heals. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, that you will rise and heal. I ask your laser beams, your wings will go into the heart valves. And I ask that hearts that are not working right, that are not breathing right, that are not beating right, will be fixed. Fix the heart. Let it be with the perfect rhythm of God. Let the pain and discomfort be gone. Let the air come in. Live and not die in the name and the power of Jesus. Hearts be healed. Livers be healed. Pancreas be healed, gallbladder, spleens, in the name and the power of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we praise you, Lord. You sent your word and healed them. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Now, also, when you get my telephone number, you might like to call and tell me that you were healed. I want to do a very special thank you to our new announcer, Scott Merson, and his beautiful Scott stuff. We appreciate you so much, Scott. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Miss Sherry. It's an honor. It really is.
And we're honored to have you. We certainly are. Now, remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Now, nothing's yours to keep. Everything's to give away. Go and sow the Word of God, and God will give you more. And I can't wait until next time when I get to bless you, which I'm about to do. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And until next time, when we all gather together again to worship the lover of our soul, I'll see you then, and I'll be thinking about you then. And I can't wait for you to come and join me again as we hear the joyful sound of the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
My soul runs to the water. Lay down your burden. Lay it down. My soul, lift up your head now. There is rest for the weary. Peace is found. So sing.
My father's arms are wider than the sea, and I'm standing on the shoulders of majesty. No matter how far I run, I can never outrun his love. My father's arms are holding me. Open, open the floodgates, rain down, let your kingdom come.
A heavenly song that comes to birth. It's rising up from coast to coast, from north to south and east to west. The cry of hearts that love your name, which with one voice we will proclaim. So let that cry to nations ring, that all may come and all may say. Something's coming.
And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Who are we that you would be mindful of us? What do you see that's worth looking our way? Free in ways that we never should be. Sweet release from the grip of these chains. Like him just straining from we'll be right back.
Cause the hands that hold you up.
You're listening to WMIE Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira. Portions of WMIE's broadcasting day are underwritten by Boaters Exchange.
Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1, right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange fixes all marine engines, and they sell all sized boats. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only five-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090.
Portions of WMIE's broadcasting day are underwritten by Cabrin Air. Family-owned and operated,